Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I'm a medicine man, and my chosen modality is the written and spoken word. My medicine bundle is open. I've lit the incense and offered it to the four directions. I invite you to sit with me in sacred ceremony. If you are an agent of the government, you are, of course, welcome to listen, but bear in mind that the words and actions of the medicine man in ceremony are protected under federal and international law. You can join the conversation by tweeting me at Mudtoe Sasquatch, MudToeSasquatch, or by email at MudToeSasquatch@gmail.com. And now, Mudtoe at Midnight. Still the old intro. So I remind you that the words medicine man are to be ignored, each at least for the time being. Received a communication from our church's national office that some definitions and some qualifications are being reshuffled. So we have a change in administration coming. So until further notice, I am not to refer to myself, I and others, are not to refer to ourselves as medicine men or medicine people until the administration figures out what that means, I guess. So ignore that part. Stick with the rest of it. The rest of it's all still good. Mudtoe Sasquatch here with you on Mudtoe at Midnight. Had a few things I wanted to talk about, and I will get to those in a minute. But I do have a call on hold. It's from the 631 area code, and I looked that up on yahoo.com, and that is Suffolk County, New York. And I don't know anybody in Suffolk County, New York. The only person off the top of my head that I know in New York is my brother's ex-girlfriend. I don't know why she'd be calling me. So I'm just burning with anticipation. Let's see if we can find out what goes on here. Caller 4012, you're on the air with Mudtoe Sasquatch. How are you this evening? Caller, can you hear me? We are in the Twilight Zone. Okay, well, perhaps I can try it again later. Maybe they had to go to the restroom or something. What's the computer doing? The caller has dropped. Oh, man. You know, it probably wasn't the show that they thought it was. I've had that happen before. But well, it was a little exciting anyway. It took up a minute and a half of the show. I am Mudtoe Sasquatch, as I had mentioned before, and this is my show. We're on With Insights Radio, a subsidiary of blogtalkradio.com. You can catch Iggy and Rosa's show on Mondays. You can catch Jenny Seek's show on Tuesdays. It's Mondays at 6, Tuesdays at 7. You can catch Heather Tapia's show at noon on Wednesdays, and you can catch my show on Fridays at midnight. Wonderful, isn't it, that they talking me into doing that. But anyway, I'd like to give a shout-out to my mother and father, which they will not hear because they don't use the Internet. But I'm going to give a shout-out to them anyway. They also don't hear it because they're very old, and I would just have to shout it very loud. But they're getting a new picture window. Now, this is the house that they still live in, the house that I grew up in. I had this massive picture window in the front that kind of they don't really use too much anymore, except I don't even know that they even use them in real expensive houses anymore. It was just almost the whole front wall is made of glass. Of course, my mother hung a curtain over it because she didn't want people looking in, and it is kind of disconcerting sometimes to be that exposed on the inside of your room. Feel kind of like you're living in an aquarium. But anyway, that piece of glass has done good service. It's double paned and filled with gas to make it all insulated and so forth. Well, it's lost its gas now, and it's degassed. And it's getting fog on the inside of it and water condensation and whatnot. So it's time to get the glass replaced. And my father knows some people, and he managed to find this place in the Ukraine or someplace where they still make picture windows. And they got a new one coming. And my mother had looked at her weather charts and took out her sextant and her barometers and everything and figured out that yesterday, Thursday, would be the best day for the installers to come and put the window in because it was like the one nice sunny day we were going to have here in the Midwest for the next several years. And they missed the date. They had something else. The installers had something else to do. It took too long. They didn't get to Mom and Dad's house on Thursday in time to put in the window. So they're still waiting for the window to come and for mud to be tracked into the house and so forth. But I did want to give that shout-out to Mom and Dad. Congratulations for your picture window. The 631 caller is back. We're going to try this again. Hold on. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, how are you this evening?
I'm good. Actually, I just found this you guys online, and I just called in. I was seeing what you guys are doing tonight. I saw your healer, and I was interested in the show.
Ah, well, thank you for calling.
No problem.
I can only speak for what I'm doing tonight. I'm doing this radio show. I just got back from filming a football game, which is what I do on Friday nights in the fall. Mostly, my show's kind of a little bit different, but the other people on the channel are more into sort of intuitive readings where people will call in and ask them about work advice, love advice. I just sort of talk, and my hope is that I say something that means something to somebody out there. That's kind of what I'm about. So that's going very quickly of what we're all about. I hope that's giving you some information. You said you saw us online. Iggy has a website.
Right.
Yeah, Iggy has the With Insights website that's probably going to tell you a lot more than what I just said.
Sure, no problem.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you.
Well, happy to have been able to help that gentleman out. New York. The last time I was in New York State, actually it would have been more recent than I was in New York City. It was the last business trip I took in the very first job I had, which I had for 7 years when I was in industry. And I went to, we had been purchased, the small company I worked for had been purchased by a much larger company. And I was sent there to learn some of the software that they were going to be having us use. And I was, at that point, already pretty sure that I was going to be leaving the company. But I got to go to New York City. And they, of course, being based in New York, they thought nothing of daily travel. Traveling, 2 hours to and from work was nothing to any. They all lived in Connecticut, and they got on a train and went to, so it was nothing for them to ask me to get on a plane in Ohio, where I was living at the time, and fly to New York City in the morning and work all day, and then get on a plane and fly home at night. It was nothing. It was the same amount of time that they traveled. But they didn't keep me too terribly busy there during the day. And I was saying this, that actually wasn't the last trip. The last trip I took was a class that I went to take, and that was in New Orleans. I could spend a week in New Orleans. And then went taking a class, and I just didn't feel like I could. It wasn't the new thing. Wasn't so certain that I was sure enough to quit. At that early point, I still needed to wait another week or two before I was actually sure I was going to this new place and I could go ahead and quit. So I went to. I spent a week in New Orleans on the company dime, and then about a week later I quit. So that was a fun thing. But getting back to New York, New York, I don't know a lot about New York State. Haven't been there a lot. Was in New York City once. I traveled to New York State a couple of times for business, just visiting customers. I was in Corning, New York once, and I visited the Museum of Glass, which is an interesting thing. It's pretty self-explanatory. We're selling to a glass maker there. Most of the work I did was the steel industry, but I did some stuff in glass too. Just containment materials, ceramic containment materials for high temperature. I hear radio dials flipping all over the internet right now, so I think I want to move on to something else. I talked about Mom and Dad. Let me tell you a bit about Skeleton Boy. This is actually my final game of the year filming this year. I thought it was going to be last week. But they did call me, the people did call me on on Monday and say, can you do one more? Which has happened like 3 of the last 4 years after they told me. Well, they told me back in September that, okay, we're winding down for the year. Don't expect, you maybe do, a couple more games and that's it. And I've done 5 games since they told me that. And the same thing happened to me last year. So I just might as well just figure. I'd like to think it's because I'm so wonderful and so talented that I'm getting all of their final games. My supervisor did tell me last year that I was only the only person in the state who was still working. And so I can take something from that. I think I'll make a positive assumption that it's because my work is appreciated and not just because I'm the only fool who will schlep myself around the state at this late time fighting the weather and the elements to take these little films. So this should be the end. I don't think they're going to ask me to do any state playoff games, so this should be the end. My sixth year doing it, 58 games total. Still have not had to deal with high school overtime, which is something I don't like. I much prefer the pro style sudden death overtime to the way give the team the ball at point blank range and wait for somebody to make a mistake. So, and plus it also, I have to use my media and whatnot, and go into overtime, then I may have to change discs and only use like 2 minutes on one disc, and that disturbs me. So, I used to be able to use my reusable media, but then, I'm not even going to get into all the technical stuff again. Dolls are going to start turning all over the internet, and I'm not even going to get into it. But I was going to tell you about Skeleton Boy. I was in the press box. It's always nice to have a place in the press box because you're protected from the weather. Didn't have heat in this particular press box, but that's okay. I have coats, multiple coats that I was wearing, and it actually caused me a little bit of a problem because they kind of, when you put on 2 or 3 coats, it tends to build up in, at least on me, it tends to build up in the stomach more than any place else. And I have that tripod in front of me with the camera, and I kept bumping it inadvertently because my stomach was sticking out way farther than usual because I was wearing all these coats. And, it's okay, so take a step back. Well, take a step back, but then you're used to working in a certain proximity to your camera, and I always end up inching back, and then the next thing I know, I'm screwing my camera up again. And once again, I've strayed away from the topic of Skeleton Boy. He was right next to me. He was, because it's hardly ever just me. It's usually someone from the home team and generally somebody from the visiting team as well, so at least 3 of us. Sometimes there's local television. Sometimes it gets doggone crowded up there. We had two local radios, no local television, and 3 people with cameras. And the gentleman to the left of me was a young man. I'm presuming a high school age young man. He had sort of dropped the information that he was the football coach's son. What he did was he said, loud enough for everyone around him to hear, this is my dad's last senior class, because it was senior night and they were introducing all the seniors. And in that sort of way that suggested he was hoping for someone to jump on that and say, oh, really? And I didn't start a conversation. He would become the center of attention, the way people do that, the way I do it sometimes. But nobody did. They just sort of left him hanging. But he's very, very thin, very frail, the kind of boy you think would probably be a great disappointment to a football coach. he's in the AV room. He's not out there, blocking and tackling. But in any case, he was up there shooting the game for his alma mater, or soon to be alma mater. And I was next to him. And of course, what happens with the local camera people is they tend to get, they're very into the game. They have a rooting interest. And boy, this kid, he was just really, and when it gets really hairy, of course, is when the team, whatever team they're shooting, if it's the home team, they feel more free to speak. In this case, it was the home team, and they weren't doing very well. And so, on every play, it is just, of course, he knows all the players by their first names, too. He goes to school and says, oh, Garrett, don't fumble the ball! He's just screaming and yelling, cussing these. I don't think he cussed them, but he was I don't know if these were things he would dare to say to their faces, because as I say, he was a little skeleton boy. And it didn't make much of an impression on me until like the third quarter of this. And I started to get rather annoyed with him. Didn't say anything, because I'm a guest in the place, and I want to create a some sort of ruckus and then have to answer to my employer. And then I just listen every time. It's like nails on a chalkboard every time something would happen. Oh, tackle him. Why don't you tackle him? I says, why don't you go down there and tackle him, skeleton boy? I'll bet you would have a lot more success than he is. But, you know, I didn't say that. Now, throw the ball away. You should throw the ball away. Avoid the sack. He's got four guys hanging on him. He's going to throw the ball away, right? But I didn't say anything. You know, I shut up. I stayed. I was very proud of myself. I stayed shut up through the whole game. Never said a word to him. Living vicariously through his team. I think maybe one reason I was able to sort of, sublimate isn't the right word. He reminded me of me, is what I'm trying to get at that age. You know, I lived very vicariously through our athletic teams because, you know, I was the AV guy, mostly for the basketball team. And I didn't have a lot of athletic talent. And so I lived through them. And our teams were just astoundingly bad the whole time I was in high school. So I was pretty miserable. And I used to write nasty articles about them in the school paper. And our school paper editor, the faculty advisor, let them go through. I don't know why she let them go through, unless it was to teach me some sort of lesson. I suppose I could ask. I'm reasonably sure she's dead now. A portion of the high school teachers I had are dead now. And she was one of the older ones. So I'm sort of presuming that she's gone to the other side now. So, I'll contact heavenly beings and spirits and ask for her. So why the hell did you let me publish those articles, those nasty articles about the football team? When I knew nothing. I knew nothing. I had no idea what I was talking about. I was just upset that they didn't win. And see, the thing is, we were the smallest school among all the schools we played. The next smallest school was twice as big as us, twice as many students. No wonder we got our butts kicked every week. It would have been astounding if we'd been able to keep our. We had a 5-5 season the year before I got to high school. It was like the best season we had in years. I don't know why it frustrated me so much. I just wanted them. I wanted them to do well because somehow I figured that would make me better if they were doing well. And I held them to an impossible standard. And you know, I see those guys there. I just cringe. It's like cringe at what I think about what. Things I said about them, things I said to them sometimes. And I still see them. One of the guys, one of the basketball players, is the fire chief in my old hometown. You see him. Another guy is a lawyer here in the city where I live. These people don't disappear from your lives. You run across them. And mostly they've forgotten, I think. If anybody's harboring any ill will, they've never said it to me. But I'm still embarrassed when I'm around them. It makes me upset with myself that I was so unfair to them. So what I want to do is I want to say a Ho'onopono prayer. I hope I pronounced that right. It's Hawaiian medicine, and I think of it as a way of dealing with guilt and regret. People who work with it more probably tell you in more detail what it's about. I think of it as working with guilt and regret. So what I want to say is a prayer, and it goes, it's just a cute little prayer, a small little prayer, and a stripped down, very sincere little prayer. And it goes something like, the people whom I'm addressing, so my old friends from high school, the football players and the basketball players, at all times, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That's it. It's a way of working with that energy, that energy of regret. I wish I hadn't done those things that I did. So I own what I did, and I ask for forgiveness. And asking it more of the universe than of the people, because obviously the people aren't sitting here for me to hear them. But the universe hears me, and the heavenly beings and spirits hear me. And so that what I hope happens is that changes the energy. So thank you for listening to my Ho'onopono prayer. two of my old football and basketball friends who probably would have beat the shit out of me if they thought they could get away with it. I'm sipping on Wendy's Coca-Cola right now. Wendy's is very bad for me, and I should not be eating it. But I was actually I was in line at Wendy's on my way here and my home to do the radio show, and I was behind a van with North Carolina plates, and then had a Cheerwine sticker. I don't know if you're familiar with Cheerwine, probably not. It's they say it's a Carolina thing. That's their slogan. It's a brand of soft drink that's local to North Carolina. And I fell in love with it when I was dating a lady from there, was spending some time in North Carolina, and she liked it, and it was always in her house. And I got to liking it. And then when she would visit me in the Midwest, she would bring Cheerwine with her. She would bring the barbecue, and she'd bring Cheerwine. That's great. And then when we split, I really missed the Cheerwine. I missed her, too. But I missed the Cheerwine. And here very recently, about a year ago now, actually, she was here. Actually, it was a very sad occasion. A mutual friend of ours had passed away. And she was here for the funeral, and she brought me a 12-pack of Cheerwine, which is very nice that she thought of me in that way. It kind of tickled me, and then we sat together at the funeral. It was kind of I think some healing happened because there was some bitterness, at least from my end. There was some bitterness at the way that things ended. And it had healed some. It's hard to heal, to do that kind of healing from a distance. And that gift of the Cheerwine sort of brought back the good memories of that relationship. And so now the bad memories are in the background, and the good memories are in the foreground. It's much more healthy energy. So thank you to my lovely Carolina lady for that. And seeing that sticker kind of brought all that back, so I wanted to share it with you. What else shall we talk about? When I got home tonight, again, this is all very recent stuff, parked out front of my apartment, and thankfully I don't have to worry tomorrow. It's not a home game for the university, so I don't have to move my car. It can stay where it is, and I got a nice place right in front of my building. Parked right in front of me is a vehicle with a personalized license plate, and the inscription is Arm Me, A-R-M-M-E. And I was trying to think of what that meant, and I wonder, because I know there is a person on campus, a lady, a young lady on campus, who is an advocate for concealed carry laws, handgun concealed carry laws, to allow people to bring firearms into campus bars, which seems to me to be not such a great idea. But she's very vocal, and you see it pop up from once in a while, and I'm just wondering, this Arm Me, I'm wondering if I'm actually living across the street from this person, or if she's visiting someone across the street, or if it means something completely different and I'm totally off base. But, you know, it got me thinking about the whole issue, because we've had a number of burglaries, people walking late at night, being accosted by people with a gun and being robbed. And there's one of the natural reactions is, well, you know, if people were walking around with guns, that wouldn't happen. And I don't quite follow that logic. I mean, if someone gets the drop on you, and to use the old vernacular, someone has their gun on you first, it's rather hard for you to get to yours without getting your brains blown out, or without getting the brains of your boyfriend or girlfriend or wife or significant other who's standing next to you who maybe doesn't have a gun, you know, them getting their brains blown out, or if you're in a bar, the waitress who's standing, the assailant with the gun, maybe gets her her brains blown out when you go for your gun. Just the only thing, to me, the only thing that changes in a situation when you bring a firearm into it, the only thing that changes is that someone it's more likely that someone's going to die. And I would add, it's probably the second person who pulls their gun is the more likely to die. I mean, unless you're really, really good. I mean, or you catch them napping, catch the other person napping. And you, when you go for your gun, you're putting everybody else in the place at risk. It's not just you. It's not just that you can take the risk for yourself. I'll take the risk for myself. I'm talking now if you're in a place that can still carry part of it. If you're in a bar, I think you're less likely to stop a bar robbery and be a hero. You're much more likely to shoot somebody you don't know in an argument over AstroTurf. It's just it's not a good idea. And we all go back to the, of course, our founding fathers whom we revere, whom we venerate. They are gods upon earth. We must remember that theirs was a narrow perspective. They were all white. They were all men. They were all relatively well off, and most of them owned other human beings. So when we start to venerate every word that comes from a group of people, we need to understand what their perspective is, I think. But, you know, they put together the Second Amendment, which says that, first, that they understand that state militias are, I don't know if they use the word state, they understand that militias are vital to, you know, the security of the country. So Congress, for that reason, Congress can't pass a law that curtails gun ownership. Now, I would argue that there aren't state militias anymore, so the Second Amendment doesn't apply. But even if it does, I mean, you're talking about, again, talking about the perspective. When the Founding Fathers wrote that, there were only about, besides the Founding Fathers, there were only about five people in the country. And they all lived out in the middle of nowhere, hundreds of miles from anybody. So, yeah, a firearm was a pretty good idea under those situations, because if somebody came over to your place to start some shit, there wasn't any help. You know, you couldn't call the police. You know, the help was days, weeks away. So, yes, you needed to be armed. I don't know, in this world, in this country as it exists today, where everybody's, you know, living on top of everybody else, that that sort of gun, everybody's armed society, everybody's armed idea, therefore we're all secure because we can all kill each other. I don't think that works. It just means that somebody's going to get killed. If we keep building... We keep building weapons, eventually they get used. We keep building bombers, eventually we use them. We keep building aircraft carriers, eventually we use them. We keep building atomic bombs, eventually we're going to use them. If everybody's carrying around guns, eventually somebody's going to get shot with them. There's my soapbox for today. I really said I was going to stop. Well, I didn't argue. I just presented my viewpoint. Those were my two pieces for my blog this week. I'm running out of time, but I think I can get this in. Tuesday, I put up a piece about how I'm not arguing on Facebook anymore because it's pointless, basically because I have my point of view and other people have their point of view, and neither of us are going to change each other's minds. And then the Friday piece, today's piece, is kind of a weird one, kind of a Halloween-y one, which goes... a little bit psychosexual at the end. And I won't tell you any more than that. I really like you to take a look at it. It's different. It's quite a bit different from anything else I've ever posted on a blog before. It's just something, I was going to write something completely different. I had like two or three other ideas I was going to pursue, but that came into my head as part of a dream last night. And I sat down and wrote it, just one draft, and put it out there pretty much as it spilled out of my head. So I'd really like some people to take a look at that and let me know what you think. So we're in our final moments together for this evening. Thank you for joining me. Thank you to the 631 caller. I hope we'll hear from you again, or that perhaps Iggy and Rose or some of the other people will hear from you again. And next week, we'll be talking about some other non-football-related topics. Maybe we can talk about the hockey strike if you're into sports. If not, I'll certainly have something else going. It'll be our last show before the election. Perhaps we can talk a little bit about that. Okay, out of time. Thanks for joining me. Bye-bye.